Good morning, everybody. Welcome. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. It's a great hymn. Thank you for that, Andrew. Let's pray. Lord, we know that today is still Easter. I understand Ukraine celebrate Easter today. But Lord, it's still Easter today. It was Easter last Sunday, but it's Easter today. Because you have died and you've risen and you are in glory. And to God be the glory, great things he has done. Lord, pray that you would welcome us with open arms today, that we would know your welcome. We would believe in you. We would believe in the name of Jesus. Through what we hear, what we experience today of you, what we understand. And help us to worship you with all our heart. Amen. Right, a couple of things today. Firstly, a big thank you. We had a great time at Messy Church yesterday. The theme was, don't worry. Don't worry. It's a familiar message, isn't it? Don't be afraid, don't worry. Particularly looking at the birds of the air, and our preacher today, Sheila, has got the most beautiful kingfisher on her lapel. So you could look at a bird this morning as you look at Sheila. And I was waiting. I was just... And we've got these most beautiful flowers all around. And all around us we can see the flowers in the spring. And I'm sure that's a word for us as well as for Messy Church, which is, don't worry. I'm in charge. Don't worry, I'm in charge. So a big thank you to all those who made Messy Church happen, all those who prayed, all those who let people know what it was, everybody who came. And it was a good time. And so thanks very much. I'm not aware of any other notices today, so we're let off lightly today. But do stay for coffee and tea and refreshments afterwards. That would be great. Gives us an opportunity to get to know one another. And it's good to see some old faces returning today. And it's very good. Our focus today is on Jesus, as it always is, but particularly with the reading that Sheila has been led to focus on today. We're going to be focusing on Jesus and believing in his name. And these are some words which we've heard, I think, probably last week, but are good to repeat from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Talking about Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped hold of, used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our worship songs today all focus on the name of Jesus, which is above every other name. And as usual, as we're worshiping throughout the service, feel free to sit or stand. Feel free to speak out words of praise and also enjoy the silence. It's a free time of worship today. There's no rules other than God is God of order, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're starting with that. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Lord, we choose
today to worship you, to praise your holy name, your name that is above every other name. We choose you to declare, crown him with many crowns. You are the king above all kings. So we crown you with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy chosen king through all eternity. We're going to be praising you, Lord, for all eternity, but we want to start now. Crown him with many crowns. Get the words up on the screen if we can. That's it. Said God is love. Your name is love. May your name of love be upon us today. May we seek to bear your name, to tell others about the wondrous name of love. Amen. Please be seated. It's an opportunity now for us to take up our offering. Once again, this is a free will offering, not to earn God's favor, but to say thank you for his love. you say in your word that you love a cheerful giver. And so we give these gifts cheerfully to you, that many more will know your wondrous name of love. Amen.
Amen.
Joan, if you'd like to come up and do our reading. Children, for those who've got your drawing and your packs, we're going to hear a Bible reading in a moment about something that happened shortly after Easter Day. And Joan's going to bring this reading, and then we're going to pray for Sheila, who's going to speak about something that happened after Easter Day. And I know you'll be listening to that, but I've also got a picture for you to colour in today, which you've got in front of you if you want to use them. And it's two ladies going to the tomb, and there's no one in it. There's some clothes in it, but there's no one in it. And you might want to not only colour it, Lexi and Connie and Harry, you might just not want to colour it, you might want to put Jesus in the picture as well, because we know he turned up, and the women are looking a bit surprised. So if you want to, you might want to put Jesus in the picture as well. Joan, over to you.
The reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, and you'll find the readings in your Bibles on page 1089. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to his word.
Thank you. Sheila. Can I pray for you? Father, we thank you for your word that we've heard, and we thank you for the words that you've given Sheila to share with us, that we might believe in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. And those that are at Messy Church yesterday, it's good to see you this morning. You're not too tired, so well done. It was a lovely time seeing children learning so many new things. But this morning I'd like to speak on two words, doubt or believe. Now, in a family conversation, you can sometimes have people saying, they talk about something or someone, "No, I don't believe that. No, no, no. They wouldn't possibly do that." I've got smiles, you obviously have said it. And you know, sometimes doubt can come in certain situations, and if you're challenged to do something, the first time I worked in industry, and the first time I was put on a machine, and I have to say it was making plastic stuff, so apologies for that, because now it's not looked on as good, but the first time they put me on a machine, I looked at it and I thought, because it was so big. And I looked and they showed me what I'd got to do. And that, and I thought, doubt, I can't do this, I can't do this. Have you come with doubt this morning about something? Talk to Jesus about it. And he will help you to believe. And you know, doubt does come into our hearts. But doubt is a lack of conviction, a state of being undecided. Now, a lot of us know when perhaps we're with somebody, we have to make decisions, and they keep doubting. Oh, I don't know. We all do it, don't we, if we're honest? Oh, I don't know. And in all fairness, we don't always know. So uncertainty is misgiving as well. Not too sure about that person. I'm not too sure about that situation. Uncertainty. Doubt is all those things. And it's okay to doubt, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. So what's the opposite of doubt? Is believing. Have faith in. Convinced of the truth. Places one trust in. Now, we may have many friends that we place our trust in, and that's good. But the best place to put your trust is in Jesus. Profess faith in Christianity. That's putting trust, faith, believing. Now, as we look at the background of last week, Jesus died and he was put in a tomb, and on the third day he rose from the dead and he appeared to Mary Magdalene. She couldn't believe it. Wow, who's this? She thought it was the gardener. No, it's Jesus. It's so thrilling. But Jesus also appears to his disciples and they're meeting behind locked doors, and I can understand that fear. If we had armed soldiers outside there waiting for us to go out and kill us, we'd be a bit doubtful as to whether to go out or not. Please, Lord, never let it happen, but we don't know. But where is your belief? Who is your belief in? So Jesus appeared to his disciples behind locked doors. They were there, frightened, fear. Fear can grab you in such a way that you can't do anything. It can be very powerful, very strong. But when you know Jesus, you don't have to fear. But they were fearful. Now, they'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. They'd eaten with him. They'd slept with him. And he died on a cross. What's all that about? They were human beings, don't forget. They were Jesus' disciples, but they were still human. And they would wonder what it was all about. But they're together for fear of being arrested and suffering the same fate as Jesus. That's what they were fearful of. And I can understand that. That's human. But there they are, together. Lest Judas, who betrayed Jesus, he was not there. And Thomas, who was absent at this time. Jesus greets them with his peace. That must be amazing. He'd died. He'd risen. And there he was. He was there. There was no question of it. It was Jesus. And Jesus greets him with his peace. His mission is accomplished. All is well. He shows them the signs of the crucifixion. The scars in his hands, his feet, and his side. They're overjoyed to see him. If Jesus was to come through that door in flesh, we wouldn't be standing. We wouldn't be sitting. We'd be prostrate before him. Think of that. But they were overjoyed to see him alive. He had promised that earlier, that in a little while they would see him and that their grief would be turned to joy. That's in John 16:22. Jesus said, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy as anyone taken away your joy of knowing Jesus. Don't let them take away your joy. Even if they say you're stupid to believe in Jesus, you must be mad. My mother, bless her heart, she's with the Lord now, but many years ago she accused my brother and I of having religious mania. Well, you're going over the top, Sheila. But I knew Jesus in my heart, and that's all that mattered to me. And I wanted them to know, and eventually they did, praise God. Don't let anyone take away the joy of the Lord that's within you. Because if you've repented of your sins and asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life, he will come in and he is within you. Don't let anyone or anything take away your joy. And if you're feeling like that, that's okay, Jesus said. Just come to me and I can sort it out. He's a good sorter. He's a good sorter. He really is. And so always, always hold on to your joy. People go through tough times. That's life. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean to say nothing awful will not happen to you. That's not life. You've got to live the life. But live it with Jesus. And Jesus repeats his blessing of peace. From now on, God's peace will be the gift of Jesus to all his people. That's you and I and all those that trust him. Then he commissions his disciples to continue his work. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's your job to continue it. Have you even thought about telling one person that Jesus loves them? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Just as he was commissioned by his Father, his mission is to continue in and through them, the disciples. But that is also in and through you. To strengthen the disciples for their task, Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit upon them. That's interesting. They couldn't do it until Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit upon them. Don't try to strive to be a Christian. Let the Holy Spirit show you. Let the Holy Spirit build you up. Let the Holy Spirit challenge you. If you will allow him, he will, and he does. Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit upon them. The Spirit is the life-giving presence of God. That is a bit awesome, guys. Life-giving presence of God is within you. He's the one whom Jesus described as the Comforter, the one who is the Spirit of Jesus himself, drawing alongside to help. The breathing of the Spirit in John's Gospel is the way of describing the giving of the Holy Spirit to Jesus' disciples. The disciples are now fully-fledged apostles, those who are sent to pioneer and protect the church. Do you protect the church or do you destroy it? I'm sorry, there's challenging things in this. What do you do by what you say, how you act, how you respond to other people? Are you Christ-like? And very often I have to say, sorry, Lord, I let you down today. And he says, that's okay, you've said sorry, let's start again and not go down that road again. It's there, forgiveness is there, even for those that have failed the Lord or felt they've failed the Lord. The apostles have Jesus' authority to forgive sins, and if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This has been the unique right of Jesus and his Father, which is now entrusted to them. And that's where the disciples were. Jesus was challenging them to go and do as he did. Not on their own, but by Father's strength. Asking for help. Don't be scared to ask yourself. It's great to share with another Christian and ask for prayer and all those things. That is right and that's good. But you've got to ask yourself. You've got to walk that road that God has called you to walk in his strength and in his way. So let's get back to Thomas. The heading on this is Jesus appears to Thomas, John 20, 24 to 31. Thomas, one of the 12, had not yet returned from Galilee. He went to Galilee because he'd seen the crucifixion and thought, well, what was that 3 years about? That was a waste of time. Where's the kingdom of God that Jesus promised? He's been crucified. He's dead. So he went back to what he knew, which is a natural human reaction. He went back to what he knew. He went back to Galilee. When he arrived back in Jerusalem, because he went back, and we'll find out a bit more about that in a minute, everyone he met told him the story of the empty tomb, the way in which the grave clothes were left, the dazzling appearance of angels, and of course their personal encounter with the risen Lord. But Thomas wouldn't believe. Are you still doubting, or will you believe? Thomas wouldn't believe the reports. So the disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Well, don't know about that, but unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And in all fairness, I have sympathy with him. Thomas has been given the unfortunate title of Doubting Thomas. It's easy to criticise Thomas from the vantage point of history. Why didn't he believe? I would think that Thomas was his own harshest critic of all. But not everyone can be like the women who heard the news and believed immediately. Not everyone is like Peter and John, who examined the evidence and then quietly believed. They looked to see. Thomas could have wondered if wishful thinking had driven his friends to mass hysteria. This person, Jesus, who said he was going to build his kingdom, is dead and he's gone. Let's not forget the mountain of evidence Thomas had to overcome. In scripture, we're not told that he was there at the cross, but when he said, I felt that when he said he wants to see the nail prints in the hands and the feet and the side, I thought, I think he was there. But we don't know. Scripture doesn't say that he was there at the crucifixion. But if he was, Thomas, at the cross, he must have heard his master's lonely plea to heaven. My God, why have you forsaken me? By Sunday morning, Thomas's disappointment fueled his flight from Jerusalem to the certainty and safety of his home in Galilee. He went back to what he knew. Thomas grieved in solitude. The other disciples weren't around him. They were still in Jerusalem. His heart was broken. Disillusionment overwhelmed the man. What was it all about? Why did I spend all that time with the man called Jesus and he's not here? Where's his kingdom? He had determined to put the whole matter of following a false Messiah behind him. He thought he had been duped and would be wiser for the experience. But despite his best efforts to remain aloof and recover his dignity, Thomas could not ignore the latest rumour. You know what rumours are like, and they're really very good in church sometimes. You know, have you heard so-and-so, and this is happening down there, and that's happening up there, you know. But, he could not ignore the rumours. Jesus was alive. A full 8 days after the resurrection, he found himself again in Jerusalem, surrounded by earnest followers, pressing him with evidence they had experienced personally. So he goes to meet with them. At this time, Jesus accepts Thomas's challenge. Jesus had heard what he said. You can't hide anything from God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. You can't. You could try, but it doesn't work. Jesus accepts Thomas's challenge. He appears to his disciples when Thomas is with them. Jesus stood in the middle of the room. Only this time, he came to see one person in particular. Not to tell him off. Remember that. Not to tell him off because he doubted. Not to tell him off. Or to shame him amongst his friends. But to heal. To heal him of his shame. But to heal. Jesus said, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. That's John 20:27. Now, we're not told in the Word of God how what happened, but I like to try to visualize things. Helps me to understand things. But let's just imagine. Thomas didn't move. He didn't even lift a finger. He didn't argue or resist. He had been given everything he needed and responded as only a genuine follower of Jesus can respond. Thomas gladly and humbly accepts that this is truly Jesus. He's there in front of him, showing his hands, the nail prints in his feet, and the spear that went into the side. And he makes a ringing statement of personal faith. He says, "My Lord and my God." It was just at that point, I believe, that Thomas realized that Jesus was God Almighty. And God Almighty loved him, even though he doubted. And God Almighty didn't want him to stay in that doubt. He said, "My Lord and my God." Our Jesus has not changed. If you're doubting, he doesn't want you to stay in that doubt. He wants you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus rose again. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." It is easier when somebody sees something and say, look, I'll show you. Oh yeah, I believe you now. Isn't it? That's a natural, it's a natural reaction. But Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Are you one of those people? Are you blessed? Because you have believed and not actually seen the body of Jesus. The Lord has challenged me many times over my years. And I remember once, he was asking me to do something, and I knew I'd got to do it, but I didn't believe I could do it. And I wasn't sure if it was right. And I just said to him, because Jesus is like this, I said, Jesus, I want to believe, but help thou my unbelief. And gradually, not immediately, but gradually, he gave me that faith to believe, because I had confessed that I couldn't do it on my own. If you lack the faith to believe in something that God has said to you, ask him to reveal it. Ask him to give you that gift of faith to do it. So in John's Gospel, the aim is to present Jesus to us so that we may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And it is by believing and repenting of our sins that we will enter eternal life as children of God. Oh, I know I'm getting older, but I just, there's part of me that wants to stay down here. There's another part of me that wants to go to be with the Lord. Why? Because he's within me. He's within me. And I still don't fully understand it, but I know he is. So where do you stand? Doubt or believe? John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe." Years ago, they used to come up to you and say, "Are you a believer?" We don't hear that very often now. But it's true. Do you believe? And if you have doubts, can I just recommend that you talk to Jesus about it? As the late chaplain of the United States Senate, Peter Marshall, wrote this, "No tabloid will ever print the startling news that the mummified body of Jesus of Nazareth has been discovered in Old Jerusalem. Christians have no carefully embalmed body enclosed in a glass case to worship. Thank God we have an empty tomb, proclaims to us that life for us does not stop when death comes. Death is not a wall, but a door." I'll say that again. "Death is not a wall, but a door." Think about that. A door. So as death comes, there's only two places that the world, people in the world will go. If they repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will go to heaven. If they reject that word and doubt and turn away, they will go to hell. And I don't find that enjoyable to say, but it's true. The word of God says it. So you need to believe in Jesus. The door to heaven is Jesus. When you die, we will meet Jesus in one way or the other. He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I know what I would choose, and I have chosen. But my heart's desire, whether you're in here this morning or whether you're hearing it over the airwaves, I want to say, but that's an old word, isn't it? But however, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. Amen.
In the reading that we heard, John writes these words, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's why Sheila has spoken today. That's why the Bible is there in front of us, that we might have life in his name. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is a gift from God. We can ask him for that gift, to be sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. It's going to say a prayer, and then we've got a time of worship, starting with a song called We Believe. And it helps us as we worship to put our faith in Jesus, to confess that faith. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we know the truth is written in your word, and it's there for us to read, to hear, for the Holy Spirit to make alive for us. We thank you for what we've heard today. We thank you for the challenge that Sheila's brought to us. Are you doubting? Are you rejecting Jesus? Or are you believing him? We all struggle with different things, Lord. You know that. Help us to believe. Give us the gift of faith. Strengthen the faith we have and help us to confess that faith in worship and in passing the message on to others. We thank you, Lord, that you are here, and even now you are speaking to us in our heart that we might believe. Amen. Can I just have a quick look before I... do you want to show me your picture, Colin? Can I have a look at it? Thank you. We've done these pictures to help us believe. Ah, you've done what I asked. This is great. So this is a beautifully coloured picture of the two ladies and the tomb. And I said, well, put Jesus in. I think this is an... Is this an angel? Or is this Jesus? It's Jesus. Excellent. So Jesus is here in his resurrection body, because he's alive. So thank you, Colin. I'm going to put that down there so we can see that. Have you done it? Have you got a colour? Can I have a look? That's right, no problem. Thank you for doing that. So let's worship. If you want to get the tambourines and the banners and so on, particularly for the first one, it's a lively song for which instruments are a great asset. Thank you. We believe in God the Father, maker of the universe, and in Christ the Son, our Saviour, come to us in virgin birth. Jesus, Lord. Perhaps you might want to speak out some of the names of Jesus, the name that is above every other name.
Wonderful Saviour.
Thank you, Lord.
Mighty God.
Redeemer and friend. Prince of Kings. King of Kings. Lord of Lords. King of Kings.
Bless you, Lord.
The way and the truth and the life.
Thank you, Lord.
You are the way.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're coming again.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Name above all names, the sinner for sinner, the Saviour for sinners slain. You suffered for my sake to bring me back home again. When I was lost, you poured your life out for me. Name above all names, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Who is he to you? We've sung these songs, but who is he to you? Just as this music's playing, express in your heart your adoration, your praise, or your doubts. Speak to him now. Speak to us today. Please be seated. Andrew, if we could have the handheld on, thank you. Before we come to our closing song, we have a good thing to do, which is to pray for Boys Brigade. So if I could ask for Ollie and Kevin and Andrew to come up. To come up to the middle here somewhere. A lot of prayer has been going on for Boys Brigade to restart, and we know God's timing is perfect, and so this time is now coming. They're a tricky bunch, aren't they? Who would entrust your children to these three? That's right. So I'm gonna come round first to the captain. This is Captain Kevin. I've never called you Captain Kevin before, but I think I like the sound of that. I think that's a name that's going to stick. So, Captain Kevin, if you could just tell us briefly what Boys Brigade is and when it's starting. Eat it like an ice cream.
Fine. Many of you will know we've already got Girls Brigade that's operated here. It's always been running for a while anyway. Boys Brigade in this church is... Well, it's a national organisation, but we've had Boys Brigade in this church previously, pre-COVID, and for many years before that. We've even got our former captain at the back, Cecil, so, from a long time ago. And it's ceased during COVID, and it's been a long time in restarting, but... through a lot of prayer and everything else, we're pleased to say it is restarting on Friday, meeting at 7:15. Historically, it had a motto, sure and steadfast, which does still apply, and the object of the advancements of Christ's kingdom amongst boys. And Andrew, you can see Andrew's got a little poster there, which he'll talk about in a minute. In addition to that... One, the emphasis, I think, in terms of restarting particularly is about life to the full, and that's based on a passage or a section of John chapter 10 and verse 10. And interestingly, I think this morning they were actually, Sheila was saying about partly as well at doors at the end and things like that as well. And in John 10, let's just focus on that. The bit just before that, actually, interestingly, he was talking about Jesus saying, I am the gate. Whoever enters me through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And I think through what we're doing, it's the hope that we'll enable boys, yes, to have a good time and everything else, but to ultimately discover Jesus and to find the pasture and new life that that we're all praying that they will.
Thank you very much. I think that Jesus saying, the thief comes to kill, to steal and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and life to the full. And Boys Brigade have been thinking about this during the COVID shutdown about what the future might be. And that's the thing they've added, if you like, onto the foundations that are already there. And that's what we've heard this morning, that life is found in Jesus. And I'm looking forward to going along to Boys Brigade to think just like that. Before I come to Andrew, Ollie, did you used to go to Boys Brigade? And hold that for us, yeah?
When I was little, I did go to Boys Brigade at some point over in Brixham. I don't really remember it too much, but I did go, and I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
But I think I went because of the activities when I was younger.
But?
But, you know,
that's right. That's
anything
great.
To bring people in.
So you never know which of the boys coming to Boys Brigade will turn into an Ollie. Ha-ha. Actually, at this point, I have a name that some of you will know. I have the great fun of going around the town differently, meeting all sorts of people. And as you know, I go down to the Inn on the Quay on a Tuesday normally to prepare for Sunday. But Wednesday before Easter, I went that day to prepare for Easter Sunday. Met four ladies and a lovely little boy, the grandson of one of them. The grandmother knows David and Josie. They're called Julie. His husband, John, has died fairly recently, and asked to be remembered to them and to pass that news on. And I thought, I know, this last Wednesday, I'm going to do the service preparation again on a Wednesday rather than a Tuesday. I'll just see if two of these ladies are there, because they said that they went there on a Wednesday. And lo and behold, they were there. So we got talking to them about different things, talking about church and so on. And then she said, my brother-in-law was in the Boys Brigade at Winner Street. Ray Craig, who eventually became Baptist minister in Torrington and then Hillingdon. And I said, well, there'll be people here who know. She said, well, we might surprise you sometime. They've been involved in church in the past and not going anywhere at the moment. Both been involved in church. But I just thought it was really interesting from Ollie here, who used to be a Boys Brigade, and stuff was happening, opening him up for God. And then you got Ray Craig, who I've never met, but I know some of you here know, and know the family and so on. And so, again, who knows which of the boys coming to Boys Brigade will become ministers of the gospel, sharing the gospel in whatever way that happens, not just as Baptist ministers, but any type of minister. Any type of evangelist. Who knows who's going to come? So that's why we pray for our leaders, that they entrust them with treasure, that sometimes seeds that are stored for a long time before they come to fruition. But so we've got Kevin, we've got Ollie, David Dunn, Bobbin is helping out as well. Paul is also going to be helping. And others, I'm sure, will get roped in as well. It's a whole church thing. This is a church ministry, not something that goes on the side. Just like Girls Brigade, it's right at the heart of what we do. Andrew has been, as you know, working very hard to make things happen and has produced some posters. So tell us about Mrs. Andrew.
Yes, certainly. Of course, we've got Captain Kevin here.
I'll hold that for you.
And we need recruiting sergeants. That's you. So we need you all to act as recruiting sergeants. Have you met anybody who's got a son who is aged in the relevant age? We can't start on the Agar Boys just yet, unfortunately, but we will be able to sometime. So it's from 8 years old upwards, right up to the end of secondary school. So if you know anybody, please let them know. And I met somebody on the train only yesterday, the Devon Bell. they had a son who was celebrating his 10th birthday. So I said, found out they live in Paignton. I said, do you belong to any boys' clubs? I said, no, I go to chess occasionally. I said, well, we've got Boys Brigade, and that's coming up on this Friday. I said, well, maybe it will be. I don't suppose they will, but you never know. So we have got a limited number of these available. We can always do some more. And there's some out on the table in the vestibule there. If you know somewhere, a shop perhaps, that would put up a poster, could you please take it along and get them to put it up? I mean, shops are quite often are willing to do this sort of thing, so you might be pushing at an open door.
They
probably have an open door in the shop anyway, but you'll be pushing at one. So please take one if you think you can use it, or if you've got a window in your house that faces out onto the street. You could put one up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And just at Message Church yesterday, the boys there said, yeah, we're coming. And that's the way it works in the church, whether it's coming in a coffee morning, Message Church, toddlers, whatever. People come into one part and then come to another. And so this is an opportunity. So let's we're going to pray for these guys now. If anybody, come a bit closer to each other. To each other. This is a team. If anybody else wants to come and put a hand on them, do, and use this microphone. I'm sure there's one or two people who are very keen about Boys Brigade. If one or two want to come and join me, let's pray and go for it. So don't hold back. I know you're shy, but if someone would like to come and pray, that'd be good. And I'll give you the microphone. Oh, Debbie, you're coming. Good. Grab a mic. And we'll all pray.
Lord, these are your precious sons, and they are here to serve. And we give thanks that they offer themselves in service as a form of worship. And we ask you to bless them and to bless this venture.
Thank you, Lord.
It's so precious that the boys will get a chance to have what our girls already get. And we ask you to bring more people along each week. For children to bring their friends, and for others to just encourage people to join in and see what it's like. And above all, Lord, we ask you to overshadow it with protection and love.
Thank you.
I ask this in your precious name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, I pray you bind Kevin and Ollie and Andrew together. As a wonderful team. Lord, we thank you for teams of three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we've got Kevin, Ollie and Andrew and all the others who are helping as well. Lord, we pray that you would bless them. You would give them clear vision as to what to do. The power of your Holy Spirit to guide them and inspire them. We pray for energy and connections. Lord, we pray that each one would be themselves, not try to be something they're not. And that the boys will pick up authentic Christianity. They will see Jesus in their lives and the lives of the church. We pray your blessing of life and life in abundance for Boys Brigade on the basis of that sure foundation, which is yourself. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray especially for Ollie. Mm. Who would have thought the day he walked in our church door only a short while ago, that he would grow in his faith, that we would see him baptized, and now he's standing at the front.
Thank you, Lord.
Helping, we're going to help with the Boys Brigade. So thank you. Thank you for Kevin and for Andrew, because we know that they too have been wanting it to happen for such a long time.
Yes, Lord.
And we will continue to pray for you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 And Lord, I just pray that Boys Brigade may have what Girls Brigade is missing. One telling another, and they tell their friends.
That's right.
Lord, girls have been growing just through children bringing friends, and I pray that that will happen with the boys as they go back and start their activities too.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Go for it. Now, some of you will notice a slight deepening of the voice. That's because of this thing that needs having an operation on. And as I was thinking about the service today, I was thinking about how Charles Wesley must have thought, he thought, I want to praise God. And one tongue's not enough. And so that's where this song comes from. So you can use the tongue, the body, the spirit that you have. But there is that sense of there's never enough voices to give God the praise he's due. And we have the organ, which, hallelujah for the organ. So that's another bit of oomph, isn't it? And so who can sing louder than the organ? So, oh for a thousand tongues. Jesus Christ and life in his name. Amen.
Amen.